Good morning. We have a number watching remotely, so we'd like to welcome those who are tuning in with us this morning. We have folks from Texas, Tennessee, Iowa, Georgia, and Kansas, and we're glad that you're with us. Our monthly memory verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's a good one. So this morning's lesson is about the present, it's about the past, and it's about the future. And oftentimes we struggle in the present because of our past. And so we'll get into that this morning. Philippians, a great scripture for us, Philippians 3, starting in verse 12, says, Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. So he's talking about reaching heaven, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. That's hard for us, forgetting what lies behind. Anything in your past bother you? Anything you've done in your past bother you? Any regrets? No one in here has regrets. Anything anyone's done in your past to you, offended you, hurt you, any of those things bother you? Well, Paul, I mean, he had things in his past just like we do, and he had to put that behind him. Now, some of that, he could have even been talking about good things like success that he had in Judaism or prestige that he had being a Pharisee in his past. He was a leader. He was a Jew of Jews. I mean, he was an elite in the Jewish community, but he had to give that up. But he also called himself the chief of sinners. You think that would ever bother you if you felt like you had sinned in your past more than anyone else? What about past hurts? Times that people have hurt you, let you down. I have a great passage for us on this, Mark chapter 11. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, and you're familiar with this passage here. He says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now that's a pretty big statement. A mountain into the sea. So we stop for a second. Can God do that? Could God do that? You know, would God have to stretch first before he did that? That's nothing for God. God can do it. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. When you pray, you're praying to the God that can do that. Therefore, I tell you, verse 24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Jesus is trying to stress that when we pray, if we pray and we doubt, you're not going to get much. It offends the Almighty when we pray like he's not Almighty. And so we have to remember, we're praying to the God that can move a mountain if he wants to. And we need to have faith. Now, this passage is connected to the next passage, which may seem like two completely different thoughts, but Jesus uses the word and. It's a translation in English. And whenever you stand praying, which we just did. I mean, we prayed, Jim led us in prayer. Steve led us in prayer. We've prayed here. When we're in worship praying, that's what Jesus is saying. When you stand in prayer, forgive if you have anything against anyone. So let's stop there for a second. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. Sometimes you may have faced a hurt from your past and you thought, you know, I tried to forgive, but I just can't. Or you may have had a hurt from your past from someone, and when someone brings it up, you say, you know, Let me just tell you what they did. You ever do that? You ever heard someone do that? Let me just tell you. I'm not gossiping, but I'll just tell you what. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. I'll just tell you what happened. And someone might say, now, have you worked on forgiving them? Oh, I've forgiven them. One time I'm driving in town here, and I come up to a stop sign, and I glance in my rearview mirror, and someone pulls up behind me, and I recognize them. And they're one of those people that I would have said, oh, I've forgiven them. But my heart sank, and I had a rush of emotion that was not a good feeling, and it reminded me, Elliot, you have not really completely forgiven them. Forgiveness has been the biggest mountain in my life. It's been the hardest thing I've ever had to do, by far. And it started with me not wanting to. You been there before? Well, I don't think they deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve my forgiveness. I mean, they can come and ask me. Then we'll talk. They can apologize. That might be nice. Then I'll think about it. I mean, I've been there, and I've thought, well, I don't know that that's even possible. Let's back up. That's impossible. A mountain into the sea, that's impossible. That's what we as humans would say is impossible. And with us, that's impossible, isn't it? Can you lift a mountain and throw it into the sea? No. But God can. And so Jesus says, you're going to have mountains. Pray. I don't know if Jesus is thinking, here's an example. Let me show you a mountain. Forgive. If you have anything against anyone. You know, if we talk about, do you have anyone to forgive in your life? You might be able to kind of like, well, I don't think so. I mean, have you forgiven everyone in your life? Well, I think I have. When we stop and analyze anything against anyone, that covers all of it. So that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So now this thing has gotten even more serious because Jesus is saying, this is not an option. It's not a request. It's not God saying, listen, you'd be wise to work on this. Jesus isn't saying, blessed are those. You know, that's not what he's saying here. You'll be blessed if you forgive. Although that's true. I want to get to that in a minute. But he says, if you want to go to heaven, you have to. Forgive so that your Father may forgive you your trespasses. If you and I've talked about forgiveness before, really not that long ago. I've preached on it before. Many of you have experienced what it's like to go from bitterness to doing the hard work and forgiving someone and finding joy and finding refreshment and finding relief. Show of hands, if you've experienced that, raise them high. We're not bragging. I'm just saying, there's the irony. Jesus is not telling us to do something that's bad for us. He's telling us to do something that's good for us. And I've heard it said, you know, forgiveness is for you, not even the other person so much. Now, it can bless a relationship, but Jesus doesn't say, now, and then go tell them. You may not tell them. It may be someone who's already passed away. It may be someone you can't tell. It may be someone that it's not wise, you know, not a wise situation to do that with. But nevertheless, this forgiveness is within you, and it's a blessing to you. I saw a headline recently. It said, this is a Harvard study. Pretty smart people at Harvard, I hear. And it says, the headline is, forgiveness could lead to better mental health. Forgiveness could lead to better mental health. That's a headline. Harvard study concluded, they did a study, they did research, they discovered forgiving someone can help you have better mental health. Headline, this is news. I chuckled. That's not really news. I mean, God's told us that for years and years and years and years, all the way back to the beginning. How do you forgive someone? Just briefly, you pray for them. There are different ways. It does help to consider how they could do what they did. It's helpful to try to put yourself in their shoes. It's helpful to find some empathy for their condition. It's helpful to remember that Satan influenced them to do sin, which harmed you. That's what Satan's all about. It's helpful to try to understand how could that even happen? How could they do what they did? All those things are helpful. I think the most helpful, the most powerful key to it all is prayer. You pray in faith. And when you have forgiven someone, well, Elliot, how do you know if you've forgiven someone? You will remember what they did, but you will remember it differently. I don't mean it happened differently. I mean you'll feel differently about it. You'll have resolution about it. You'll have peace about it. You'll still remember it. You can still remember hurt, but it won't flood your body again with hurt because you've resolved it. You've given it up. You are at peace about it. It's like a scar. I have scars, and they remind me of past hurts, but it no longer hurts, right? And so that's forgiveness. Now, what about things that we've done, things from our past? We've looked at this recently, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Pause there for just a second. Right now, you have fellowship with the body of Christ. You're here on a Sunday morning to worship. And if you're a Christian, you know, you have fellowship with your church family. I want you to know that in the future, if you come to a place where, well, I'm just too busy to be here or to be with your church family, I'm too busy or I'm too hurt or I'm too something, Scripture has no clause. Scripture has no allowance. Scripture has no path for me to walk the Christian life by myself, isolated. I can't pull away from the body of Christ. Will they hurt me? Forgive. I mean, talk to them. Pray about it. Move a mountain. Let God move your mountain. But fellowship with one another is God's only plan for his people. All right, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us, that's present tense, ongoing cleansing from all sin. And I want to read from the Gospel Advocate commentary. I love what they said about this verse in particular. They said, it is the blood, the shed blood of the Son of God that cleanses us from sin. Moreover, it cleanses from sin, not merely or solely the conscience, but sin, all sin, whether of thought, of word, or deed, rash sins, sins of ignorance, sins of malice, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of the flesh, sins of the disposition, sins of pleasure or pain, sins of every type and kind committed at any time or place. Now that's kind of, I understand that's kind of formal language, but I love how that commentator described what this verse is saying. All sin. You got a sin in your past that you committed that you can't get over, you can't forgive yourself of, you can't move past. Jesus' blood cleanses all sin. Then let's read on verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now what that sounds like is if you've ever said or heard someone say, now listen, I'm a good person. I mean, I don't. And we start listing what we don't. As if, like someone charged with murder before the judge could say, I did murder, but judge, I'm a good person because I don't steal and I don't commit adultery and I don't use the Lord's name in vain. And I mean, you can list all day your don'ts. What about what you did? We all fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So if we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you believe God is faithful? So you and I fall short. We don't hit the mark always. This past week, there's probably something that a godly person in your position would do or avoid doing, and you failed. We missed the mark. Did God miss the mark this past week? So Jim prayed a prayer and said, God, forgive us of our sins. I prayed that prayer. I need that prayer. Do you need that prayer? If you're of age, nod your head. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves, right? Isn't that what the good book says? Is God faithful? Yes. So I say, okay, will He forgive my sins? He's faithful, yes. And just. How is God forgiving my sins just? Because see, when people do wrong, when people have hurt me, I want justice. When I do wrong, I want mercy. So how can God be just when He's forgiving me? You may have had this happen sometime, but not too long ago, we were eating at this Mexican restaurant, Mi Pueblo, in front of Reese's. I love Mexican food. Good restaurant. I like it. So I go to check out, go to pay at the front, and they say, yours has already been paid. Someone paid yours. Wouldn't even tell me who. I said, really? Yep, yours is already paid. I had my credit card. Yours is already paid. Well, all right. I stuck that back in my wallet. Now, can you imagine saying to the person, well, I don't know anything about that, but I know I ate that food and I owe you this money. And they say, it's already paid. He said, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I owe this. That's fair. To me, fair is I ate it, I pay. That's fair. It's how I was brought up. Take my money. I mean, who in their right mind would do that? Argue with them and force them to take your money for something that's already paid. So when God forgives your sins through the blood of Jesus, God is saying that was paid. It was paid on the cross. That's justice. Justice is crime payment. We committed moral, sinful crimes. Jesus paid it. Does that make sense? And that's how God, when He forgives us, He's faithful and He's just. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So before you become a Christian, you're at odds with God. Because of sin, we're separated from God. But because of Christ, when we come into fellowship with God, now we've been reconciled. We've been brought back together. And now we have that ministry. We're supposed to help other people to be reconciled to God and find salvation. So here we are. Our old sins have passed away, been forgiven justly and faithfully. We're a new person. Let me ask you a question. Does God want you to hang on to your past hurts? Does God want you to hang on to your past sins? Does God want you to periodically, why don't you periodically reflect about how bad you were and what you did? You think about that. That's not how God works. And that's not what God wants. I want to jump to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Those sound like two different things. Every weight. There'd be different kinds of weight that you might have that you need to lay aside. But I don't know a heavier weight than past regrets or past hurts. What someone did to you. And God says, lay that aside. You can't run a race hanging on to that. You can't run forward looking backward. Put it aside. And sin, which clings so closely, you can't run the race if you're knee-deep in sin, or if you're tangled in sin, or if you have ongoing sin. Get that away. Run the race. Be faithful to God. I want to, I'll leave that up. I want to demonstrate something about kind of what we're talking about this morning. Nobody pass out. So, all of us want God's grace and mercy. God's grace is when, grace means unmerited favor. So, when God's being gracious to us, he's giving us something we don't deserve. And a good word for grace is gift. Every act of grace is a gift. And you and I, when it comes to God and our relationship and our sin and what we deserve, you know, we want grace. That's Jesus on the cross. I mean, we want every bit of God's grace, unmerited. We don't deserve it. We also want God's mercy. Now, mercy is when we deserve punishment, we deserve to pay, but we're not made to pay. Someone else is paid. And so when it comes to my sin, I want mercy. So the question, what I want to kind of demonstrate is how much grace and mercy. That's what this string represents. This is God's grace and mercy, okay? And so how much do we want? How much do you want God to extend to you? We want more? I want more. For everything I've ever done, I would like more. Do you want God's grace and mercy for things you've said that you shouldn't have said? Ever said something wrong? Ever taken God's name in vain, didn't understand? Ever said something out of anger, shouldn't have said it? Ever said something out of gossip? It was news, but it wasn't your. It was a story, but not your story to tell. And you told it. Shouldn't have said it. Said something rudely, harshly, foul language. I mean, how much mercy do you want from God? I want more. How much grace? You want some more, God? I would like more, please. Ever done anything wrong? Done anything? You look back and you shake your head. I can't even believe I did that. But it was you that did it. No one else did it. No one made you do it. You did it. Nobody put a gun to your head and said, do that. You did it. You chose it. And you shake your head in disgust at yourself, in shame, thinking, I can't believe I did that. God, I'd like some more. I want more grace. Ever did something that hurt someone deeply? You didn't intend to hurt them, but it was wrong what you did. It did hurt them. And anytime you think about it, you still feel bad for it. Now let's get into, have you ever thought anything that wasn't a good thought? That was critical, it was judgmental, self-righteous, selfish, a bitter thought, envious, jealous, greedy. Ever had thoughts? God, I have thoughts sometimes, I think, and I don't say, I don't do, but I have a thought, and I think, "Ooh, God, get that. Forgive me that. That's not good. I need more grace. I need more mercy." How much do we want? If God were to ask, "How much grace do you want from me?" God, I need a little more. Give me more. All right. So just for time's sake, y'all don't want to be here all day. So my question now is, so this is grace and mercy from God, and God has given to each of us. You know, how do you measure the amount of God's grace that he's given you, the gifts, the amount of mercy God's given you for your past mistakes? For someone who's harmed you, done you wrong, how much grace can you extend to them? How much mercy are you ready to extend to them? When someone acts wrong, they don't act right. They don't act how a Christian should act, or they don't act how even just a decent human being should act. They said this, they did that, they acted this way. Here's what they did. Let me tell you what they did. How do I have any grace or mercy I can extend to them? How much of that can I spare? Isn't it something how we have all this that's been given to us, but when people, when they cross us or when they fall short, when they have their worst day or their worst moment, well, I don't know. And so this lesson is about putting behind things that we need to put behind. Put your past behind you. If you've never become a Christian, you're dead in your sins. You're dead man walking in your sins. If you're not a Christian, become one. Let us help you. If you are, put it behind you. Run the race, right? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you have something we can help you with, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
Just as